It's not enough to recognize a generational curse. It is not enough to repent from a generational curse. And it's not enough to simply rebuke a generational curse. We cannot successfully drive the curses away unless if we're not willing to replace it. We must be willing to replace the generational curse. We have to recognize it, repent from it, rebuke it, and replace it. With that in mind, let us continue our series of lessons. We don't seek to replace it with something spiritually good, then we'll end up in a state that's worse than the first, Matthew 12, verse 45. Paul enlightens us to this concept in the laws of the reaper from Galatians chapter 6. The laws of the reaper are easy to follow. One, you must reap what you sow. Two, you must reap more than you sow. And three, you must reap after you sow. Reap more than you sow, reap what you sow, and reap after you sow. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. When a farmer wants to grow soybeans, he will plant, guess what? Soybeans. And when he wants to grow corn, let me try and see if I can figure out the logical choice. Corn? Yep. If a farmer wants wheat, he plants wheat. If he wants wheat while planting apples, he shouldn't expect to have wheat come up. You always reap what you sow. Job 4, verse 8, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble will harvest it. The choice of the seed that is sown in the spiritual realm basically boils down to two kinds, good seed and bad seed. Whatever seed we choose will be the crop we harvest in the future. Now, how are the bad seed and the good seed defined according to the text? Paul identifies both, and they are on the exact opposite sides of the spectrum. The bad seed, Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, the bad seed is immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Yet the good seed is found in 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if we're planting the seeds of sin, then we must understand that it will be a sinful crop come harvest time. If we're planting seeds that demonstrate godly principles and standards, the result will be a righteous crop. The greatest struggle for a parent with an apostate child or children is the regret over possible errors and bad decisions that may have assisted in that present state. To this, I have good news and I have bad news. First, the bad news. You cannot go back and, quote, unplant that which has been planted. There's no way of doing it. You cannot go back and change time. No matter how many tears Esau poured out, it did not undo what he did concerning his birthright. The good news, we can begin to plant the good crop today. If sowing of bad seed produces generational curses, then the sowing of good seed will produce generational blessings. Today we can begin planting seeds which will lead to the harvest of blessings for our generations to come. We may have blown a few things in the past, but the Lord must bless those who plant a good crop, for we reap what we sow. The planting of good seeds can and will bless many generations to come if only we will do what the will of the Lord is today. In 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "The Lord said to Jehu," or Jehu, however you want to say it, "because you have done well in executing what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." We reap what we sow. So choose today the seed which will be sown. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants." So we reap what we sow. But we also reap more than we sow. One of the concepts in farming that makes it all worth it is the concept of reaping more than you sow. A farmer may harvest 100 bushels an acre, but have actually only planted a couple bushels of seed per acre. In Matthew 13, verse 23, "But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold and some 60 and some 30. Seed is always used for the purpose of multiplication. You always reap more than you sow. And this not only applies in the physical world, but in the spiritual. Not only will we reap what we sow, we reap more than we sow. And many of the curses that started out in the lives of the parents began with seemingly, quote, little offenses to God. But when the harvest season arrived, there was a bumper crop to be faced. For we sow to the wind, and we reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8, verse 7. It may have been the selection of an R-rated movie with sexual references of violence through the eyes of our children. But by harvest, it brings forth a crop of pornography and wife beating. It may have been, quote, a little offense to drink a beer in front of the kiddies after a hard day's work. But when reaping time arrives, the crop may be alcoholism and broken families. It may have been a little decision to plant, quote, Sunday morning sleep-ins. But those seeds, when they're full grown, when they're harvested, yielded missing in action status for little genetically related spectators years to come. It may have been a couple of nasty remarks in front of the children concerning an elder or eldership. But when the sheaves are brought in, it yielded disrespect for the chief shepherd and guardian of our own souls. It may be a portion of roast preacher served up to little hungry ears on the way home in the car from worship. But there will be a bumper crop of rejections for hundreds and even thousands of lessons of the Word of God, resulting in a generational curse of irreverence for the Bible and those who preach it. It may be a, quote, little decision to plant non-biblically based feelings first seeds in the minds of our children. But the result will be a bumper crop of non-reasoned thinkers being tossed to and fro in the waves of emotion. Little seeds we plant will yield bumper crops in the future, for it is the law of the reaper. This is another reason that we must be willing to plant a new crop of good seed, for it will lead to abundant blessing. The same thing works in a positive way. If we plant those good seeds, then the Lord will allow a bumper crop to be harvested down the road. If we make decisions today that are right in the eyes of the Lord, then He will cause abundant blessings to overflow in our lives. If we make God the center of our universe, Jesus the center of our life, the Holy Spirit the center of our heart, the church family the center of our time, and the Bible the center of our mind, then the Lord will cause a bumper crop of His first fruits to come into our lives. He longs to pour out the blessings of this life and the life to come, but we must be willing to plant the good seed today. So we reap not only what we sow, and we reap not only more than we sow. Folks, we reap after we sow. Have you noticed that pattern in farming? In the springtime, the farmer goes out and plants, yet in the harvest time, in the fall, it always occurs after. Imagine a farmer riding around in a field with a combine during the springtime with no crops in the field. Farmer harvests the crop in the fall that they have planted in the spring. Where there is no planting, there is no harvesting. For we always reap after the sowing. James 5 verse 7. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains. That is the third law of the reaper. We reap after we sow. Now, why is it important to keep this in mind concerning the generational curse? Well, knowing that the reaping follows the sowing is significant because we often fail to present the present struggles with the distant past. We have difficulties trying to connect the blessings and the struggles with our past actions, ignoring the correlation from the choices of the past. Simply put, we are presently reaping fruits, whether good or bad, from that which has already been planted. The natural blessings in our lives are the result of seeds of blessing being sowed in the past by individuals, someone prior. The natural struggles in our lives are also the result of prior sowing of cursed seed. God does not repay natural curses and blessings like phone cards. He doesn't prepay them. Don't think for a moment that you receive something that was a prepayment in a natural curse. It just doesn't happen. Whatever was planted will be coming in the future in one form or another, because God has natural built-in upcomings for those who go the way of the world. And this is why we must start replacing process through the replanting of good seed, for the generations to come will thank you. We have the greatest effect on the lives of our loved ones, for we reap after we sow. Summarizing the entire series, there are many curses that we are up against in this nation. But the ones that we are most able to deal with are the ones that are influencing us and the people we love. The crop is going to come, but will we be ready and willing for the harvest? In order to do that, we must recognize the curse, repent from the curse, rebuke the curse, and replace the curse. If we will allow these actions to be carried out in these areas of our lives, then the Lord will cause the blessings to be poured out upon us richly in Christ Jesus. If we fail to deal with the generational curses that are trying to take our descendants hostage, then that goal will be met. It is our choice, and that choice is today. Plato said centuries ago in the Laws, quote, "So long as the young generation is and continues to be well brought up, our ship of state will have a fair voyage. Otherwise, the consequences are better left unspoken." He was only repeating what God was saying since the dawn of time. For the leadership goes in the present generation. As it goes, so the future of that people heads that same direction. Can the leadership of one person make a difference? Look at some of the data and decide for yourself. According to a Barna survey, it says, quote, "Adults who attended church regularly as a child are nearly three times as likely to be attending church today as are their peers who avoided church during their childhood, 61 to 22%. Adults who attended church as a child are nearly 50% more likely to pray to God during a typical week than those who did not attend church as children. Reaching people when they are young, the moral foundations, in a 2003 study, the moral foundations are generally in place by age 9. A person's response to Jesus is usually determined before one reaches 18. Most people's spiritual beliefs are formed when they are preteens. In essence, what you believe by the time you are 13 is what you will die believing. Barna concludes, quote, "Children are the single most important population group for the church to focus on. Such a shift in priorities could well bring about the spiritual renaissance that many church leaders have long been praying for." Let me close this whole series on the generational curse. Let's boil it down to this. Make the choice today to end the generational curse. Joshua 24:14-18. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, quote, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us, our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whom the midst we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites, who lived in the land, we also will serve the Lord, for he is God. We've covered the existence of the generational curse. We covered many of the curses that are prevalent in our society today, and we covered how to deal with the generational curse. Now it's up to you.